following programming is sponsored by Father James N. Drucker. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Dan Hutt present Harms, because there is a retired U.S. Air Force captain in the room. Honorable service during Desert Storm. But I guess you should salute from a kneeling position, because although people say he's one hell of a disc jockey, he's also an ordained Catholic priest. Here he is, Philly's doo-wop priest, Father Jim Drucker.
Rock and Roll Reveille is a sole production of Father Jim Drucker's Drucker Music Publishing, Broadcast Music Incorporated.
Welcome to Philadelphia's new show of doo-wop music and the caring for our military veterans, especially in Philadelphia and our listening area. Our show will feature doo-wop music and celebrity recording artists live in studio and by phone. Heard here Saturdays at 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM. Simulcasts also heard on WPEN FM 97.5 HD2.
Hi, this is Phil Marshall. Join me for some stories about Vietnam helicopter rescues on WWBD 860 AM Rock and Roll Reveille.
And I didn't see the tripwires they had set out there, but I hit a tripwire and set off, I don't know what kind of explosive device.
Big blast, a big bright light, and that was it.
Were you unconscious?
No.
So you're still...
I'm still awake.
And they tell me it was Army, Vietnam. And he was ordered. The lieutenant colonel told this sergeant, this captain boy, sergeant, to throw the con.
Out of the helicopter?
Yeah, to throw him off the helicopter.
Well, I came apart. Child of God, he was walking along the road, and I asked him, tell me, where are you going, Mr. Coleman? Said, I'm going down to Lester's farm, gonna join in a rock and roll band. Got to get back to the land, set my soul free.
We are cooking here at WWDB Rock and Roll Reveille. Father Jimmy Drucker from Kensington, Allegheny. Our guest today is Phil Marshall. We got more coming, but I love this song, Woodstock, Rock and Roll. Would you believe I'm over at McGuire Air Force Base, and earlier I was with a bunch of great people. Jimmy Jacobs, Navy. What am I doing? I'm out of my mind hanging with the Swabbies with Navy people. Jim Jacobs, he had a cookout. Father, come over, give a blessing. I did that. Woodstock's in the background, by the way. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm so excited being on the radio with Vienna Lorendi and Janine, our executive producer, Billy Colucci, hopefully coming in, and Matt Minerick. Anyway, I want to say hi to Ruth. Ruth went to the same school that I went to, St. Anne's Church on Lehigh Avenue. Can you believe that? I received First Holy Communion there in 1950. So we want to say to Louis, a quick hi, shout out to Louis, who owns a Cadillac dealership. He's now retired. Joseph Retta, Maggie May, and Patty Baby, Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, huh? And Gia and Charlie and Penny, Penelope, Herb, Nina, and Ralph, which means God who heals, from the book of Tobias and Tobit. What do you want? I'm a priest. Rock and roll!
riding shotgun in the sky, turning into butterflies above our nation. We are stars. We are gods. We are gods.
I've been blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ to have this show dedicated to the veterans, of whom I am one, Vietnam era, trained for 6 months, intensified infantry at Fort Jackson, Tent City, Red Clay. Oh, was that fun? Hup, two, three, four, get down, grunt, you're a slime ball. Yeah, what a guy, here I am, a slime ball priest. Anyway, and our guest today is a gentleman that it saved many lives. His name is Phil Marsh. He's written many books. He was kind to send me a few of his books. And he picked this song. All the songs you hear in this on this show are picked by the guests themselves, as when Vienna was on, etc. So we're going to bring on right now, bring up a little bit of the music if you can, Matt, all right? And we're going to bring on Phil Marshall. Phil, I love you. And please say hello to our audience in Philadelphia on Rock and Roll Reveille, sir. CWO2 Chief Warrant Officer. Yes, Phil, hop in.
Yeah, love Philadelphia. Have been there. Excuse me, with the Vietnam Helicopter Pilots Association.
Tell us a little bit about that group, please.
Well, the name is self-explanatory. We got together, gosh, 30 or 40 years ago, and we were still in our 30s, and we just had so much fun getting back together and telling war stories and enjoying adult beverages. We've just done it every year since then, and it's just been an amazing organization.
You're diminishing your role. You save people's lives, sir. You save people's lives. All of you, your group. It's not just, oh, the helicopter. No, sir. You are a hero.
Well,
and you're on my show, and I'm so grateful to God on Rock and Roll Reveille, WWDB, my conception, and with a dear friend of mine, Richard, has been my benefactor and friend for so many years. But continue, sir. Welcome to Philadelphia and Rock and Roll Reveille, Phil Marshall.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, it's indeed a privilege. I just want to get the stories out there. The reason I did the books, I just wanted to get the real stories, not what Hollywood would show you. And it was a privilege to do what I did. And when I was in flight school, the last thing I wanted to do was fly unarmed helicopters in combat. I mean, how stupid is that? But once I was assigned to fly dust-off medevac helicopters, it was just the most incredible thing that I have ever done in my life. And I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Well, we're going to continue with more music. Now, this is a song that Colonel David Tussignant. How's that for not being able to speak
French? Yep, you got it.
And
Captain T, as we called him.
Oh, I don't have that honor, sir. I'm just a captain, sir. Anyway, he picked this song, and he said this was kind of the anthem, and it's true, of Vietnam veterans. Gentlemen, Eric Burden and the Animals. We got to get out of here.
Dirty old part of the city where the sun refused to shine. People tell me it ain't no use in trying. My little girl, you're so young and fresh, and one thing I know is true, you're gonna die before your time.
Hi, I'm George Garfield, an original founding member of the singing group The Mystics. Be sure to listen to Father Drucker's Rock and Roll Reveille, WWDB 860.
See his hair been turning gray. He's been working and slaving his life away. Yes, I know.
I can't tell you how grateful I am to Almighty God to be a priest. 46 years. I thought it said celebrate. My God, am I out of my brain? Anyway, I'm from K&A, where Ruthie is from, St. Anne's Church, Lehigh Avenue. If you're listening, Father, over there, we love you. Father McFadden was the priest. We were always afraid to go to him because he was tough. Oh, was he tough. And I'll get a call from the bishop. Anyway, with the background singing Eric Burden, we continue with now. Our guest is going to join us. Phil Marshall, along with his commander. Now, I was chuckling when David, I said, David, were you in with him? I knew he was a helicopter pilot, dust off, et cetera. He said, Father, I was Phil Marshall's commander. I said, oh, sir, excuse me. And he said, he called him a kid. He was 21 years old. And I remember in all the research I'm doing, he finally sent me a picture. Phil, I love you very much. And David, I love you, sir. And he showed the picture, and I cried. I really cried. 21-year-old young man flying a helicopter, saving people's lives. Can you believe this? Colonel, would you get me out of this, please, and share that story, please, sir, that we are going to pull on Phil. You shut up, Phil, for a few seconds, sir, Chief Warrant Officer, and share the story that you sent me the little note on, sir. Please, Colonel, sir.
Well, I'd be proud of you, Father. And Phil, brother, how are you, buddy?
Hey, doing great, sir. Great. Doing great.
No. The story I want to tell is prefaced by the fact that combat is really not fair. In so much as if you're stupid, you're probably going to get killed. But if you're smart, there's no guarantee you're going to live. So this story is about the end of my tour, where I had been lucky enough or smart enough for 11 and a half months to survive. And I was on a three-day standby up on the DMZ with a big operation called Fulton Square. It was time for me to go home, my crew to go back to our headquarters area. And Phil, this first aircraft commander assignment on standby up on the DMZ.
Slow down, sir, in this sense. In other words, he was becoming now a kind of his own bigwig, his own person, aircraft commander, AC, right? He's ready to go. We're setting this in here. Good, sir. Please, Colonel.
With a lot of training and ethanol therapy, we had gotten him to a point where he was consciously competent. And we were getting out of a very, very hot 3 days, and it was a lot going on. And I briefed Phil and his crew with three other members. And I said to them, I said, kid, don't screw this up. We'll be waiting for you to come back. I'll be leaving in about another week. Well, don't you know, the next day he gets shot down, for gosh sake. So,
boy, what a nerve. I'll tell you, what a nerve. That's a compliment, AC.
I had a slow learning curve.
No, Phil, you have to keep quiet now. There's a colonel talking, sir. Sorry about that. Go ahead, sir.
The aircraft was repairable. I have questions to this day whether the Chief Warrant Officer Phil Marshall is repairable. But anyway.
Well, listen, would you like to share that question with 4 million people in Philadelphia? We don't have that audience, but it would be a good audience. So what's the question, sir, you want to ask Phil Marshall, CW02, now CW01?
Well, so when you got hit, what was your first thought of being hit, or did you really even realize it?
Oh, absolutely, I realized it. I knew we were all going to die.
Wow!
Absolutely, because we're falling out of the sky. We're falling out of the sky. Only got a couple of hundred feet off the ground. But between the co-pilot and I, we recovered and got our wounded out of there. But the round came through my door, hit my armored seat, shattered my arm, knocked my hands off the control. But there was no doubt in my mind we were going to die. But then within a second or two, you know, the training, I never stopped flying the helicopter. But there for a couple of seconds, let's just say it got a little hairy.
Yeah, well, That's understated, I'm sure, but that's the kind of brave guy you are. Okay.
Chief Warrant Officer Marshall, it must have been terribly lonely flying medevac missions to save the lives of our Vietnam combat soldiers alone in your dust-off helicopter.
Since the number one, no is the saddest experience you'll ever know. Yes, it's the saddest experience you'll ever know.
Hey, everybody, this is Larry Justice, formerly WIBG, and you are listening to the Rock and Roll Reveille with Father Jim Drucker, Philly's doo-wop priest. It's every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WWDB AM 860 on your night.
This is Janine, Father Jim's executive producer on Rock and Roll Reveille. You shared with Father Jim the daunting information that it was your belief that the enemy received just about $500 reward for shooting down any American or South Vietnamese helicopter, and there was word that they were presented a medal for doing so.
Phil?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Yes, that was our understanding at the time.
I read your story of the legacy of Major Charles Kelly, and that was just a heartbreaking story. But what really hit me about how lucky we are today is after they brought him back and they had to continue on, his good friend, and they were so upset because he had just been killed, and they said, "It's over, it's done, and we have work to do." And you had to get back to what you had to do despite what went on. This has to be so difficult to swallow all those emotions and then continue on.
Well, we knew the guys out there in the field were depending on us. So, it would be a remorseful moment when you lost a comrade. But, again, we had a job to do, and we knew the guys were depending on us. I had one ground pounder, grunt, as we called him, when I was doing my stories. He told me, he says, "We were probably a lot braver than we should have been because we knew we could depend on you helicopter guys."
Wow.
And boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. But again, we knew they were depending on us, and we wouldn't trade places with them for anything, that's for sure.
hey, Phil Marshall, it's Vienna. So good to hear your voice.
This is Lieutenant Colonel Vienna.
Yes,
already.
As you were.
Yes, hello, Vienna.
Hi, Phil, and hello, David Tuzinat.
Hello there, ma'am.
Hello there. Phil, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so proud of David, of course, as well.
Well, thank you.
I know what you had to go through. It's unbelievable. And I love you both.
And for the audience to know, so they're clear, we had a show with Vienna. Vienna was a surgical nurse. I think you were a captain at the time in Japan at Osaka.
Osaka.
I always say it wrong.
Osaka,
okay.
Japan. Osaka. 249 General Hospital.
And they would fly in amputees and paraplegic in the hospital section where she was in to take care of. That's her life and what she did. Another hero in the studio with me and Matthew and with Janine.
Thank you, Father Jim. Phil, Father Jim shared that music in Vietnam reminded you back home of cruising the hamburger joint with a carload of girls, working on your car, going to the drive-in with a buddy and a six-pack of beer, a place of no worries, a family of friends, and wow, all of a sudden you're 21 in Nam.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, we weren't cruising with a carload of girls. We were looking for a carload of girls. If we got lucky, we'd get a date for the next weekend.
So how many times did you get
lucky? Wait a minute, you gave me false information, Phil? What is this? Yeah. I did a lot of research on this, sir.
Yeah, just one word difference there. Just one word difference. Big difference. Yeah. But no, it was, I was lucky. I had a good home life and school and everything. So I felt that I was rather normal. But one thing I didn't do was study when I got to college. And when I didn't have the grades to go back, that was when I decided, well, I'm going to have to join to get something worthwhile. And when the Army said that I was qualified for flight school, you're going to make me a pilot? Where do I sign? When can I leave?
Now, Phil, I have on the air, going to be on the air with us in a couple of seconds, a doctor, thoracic surgic doctor. He was on the air a few weeks ago with us with Dennis Skirbin, who wrote his book, and he's an author as well, like you, not 22 books like you. And anyway, he used to have all the veterans come, combat veterans. He couldn't save their lives. They would die on the table because they got the wounded soldiers to him too late as a thoracic heart surgeon. So you know what he did? Dr. Phil, will you share with Phil Marshall, helicopter medevac dust-off pilot and Colonel Toussaint, your story, please, sir?
Dr. Hello
Davies?
There.
Good. Yes, sir.
Yes. Hi there. Hi, Phil.
Hello.
I just want to say for everybody to hear, you know, the doctors and nurses saved a lot of lives in Vietnam, but I'll tell you who saved more, the dust-off pilots. There's no question in my mind that the quick scoop and runs that you guys were able to do got those patients to us in time for us to be able to save their lives. So I'll tell you, that's the way it was at the 2nd and 27th Surgical Hospital over in Chu Lai. We sort of looked at you guys as sort of the angels of the air. You brought in the guys, and we were able to fix them. I got to tell you a little story. When I first got in country in 1968, we had several episodes where guys would come in with minor chest wounds. It appeared to be minor, but were dying of what they call tension pneumothorax. And I could have fixed it in about a minute and a half if I was with the chopper. So I started going out on dust-offs.
Against orders, sir. Right?
Brave man.
Incorrigible.
Well,
they call him incorrigible.
Yeah, that's what they call me. They told me they were going to demote me to private and send me to Vietnam. So I was already pretty well set up with that assignment. But I probably had about 40 rides, and I'll tell you, those hot LZs that you guys went into, nobody knows those stories. But I had a chance to witness it, and it was amazing, the ability to manipulate those planes and those choppers. But I just want to say again that the guys that really saved more lives in Vietnam than anybody else were the dust-off pilots.
Dr. Davis, I thank you for being on the show with us. God bless you. And also, to chime in right now, is our guest of a few weeks ago, who's going to be on again this coming Saturday, next week from today, a day after National POW Day, National Recognition Day in America, Ralph Galati. Will you chime in and say hello to Ralph, to Phil Marshall? Say hello to Dr. Davies, and say hello to Colonel Toussaint, please, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Great to talk to everybody again. Hey. Phil, it's great to hear your story. Let me say one thing.
Thank you.
You guys, as you know, you guys were low and slow, which is the opposite of what you want to be. In the kindest possible terms, you guys were crazy.
Because you had to be.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you were flying into places where the enemy already knew you were coming because there was somebody probably shot down or injured.
And you were
far from quiet, and you had to do it regardless of the terrain. Regardless of the circumstances, and like everybody said, you guys saved a ton of lives. Now, as a grievance, where the hell were you on February 16th, 1972? I could have used you.
This is a gentleman.
Oh, I was probably at home cruising the drive-in again.
I wasn't that far north of the DMZ. You could have made a special delivery or something.
A little side trip, sure, why not?
Yeah. But you guys were great. And like Doctor just said, you know, you saved a ton of lives. And congrats on all those books, too. It's a great story that needs to be told.
Thank you.
Now, Ralph, we're expecting you next week, Ralph. God bless you, sir, and I love you, and thank you for being on the air with us. We have to clear out a few lines. I have Dr. Savicki call in from Florida. In the meantime, we're going to continue with more music. You're listening to Father Jim Drucker, Philadelphia's doo-wop priest, Rock and Roll Reveille, 888-329-3306. My guest today is Dust Off pilot Phil Marshall. Well, we're trying to regulate everything by Dr. Savick, who's down in Florida, to come in to do our Maybe You'll Be There in the vignette for our veterans. By the way, we love you veterans. And Vienna, jump in here a second. We have somebody call in. Bill Williams. Are you there, Bill? If he's on the air, let's put him on. We'll put him on now. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, Father.
Yes. Jump in. Would you like to join the show?
Yes, I was asked to call in by Rod the Dare.
Oh, yes.
Vienna.
Yes, hello. I don't know you, but Roz told me about you. You are the 101st Airborne, one of my Screaming Eagles. I love you dearly. You know that. And you told me that you were shot down twice, right?
I was medevac twice.
You medevac twice. So why don't you tell us about that?
Now, Bill, so you know, you're on the radio in Philadelphia, a market of 4 million, not that large for us, but we're doing well. And this is a show called Rock and Roll Reveille. Mm-hmm. My show every week features veterans. I'm a veteran, Vietnam era, and I was a chaplain in Desert Storm, sir. So please share your story. You're with Phil Marshall, a dust off pilot, with Colonel David Tusagnan, who was also a dust off pilot. And, sir, I'm proud and privileged to have you on the air on Philadelphia Radio, WWDB.
Well, thank you. I can use all the help I can get from you people. I'm not that great at interviewing. But my story was I was at on our 1st Airborne, 327th Infantry, Company B. And in, the first time I was dust off came to get me was probably around March of 1966. Wow. I was a RTO for our captain. Well, anyway, we were in battles all day long and all night long. And I somehow come down, I had a fever. And here it is, maybe midnight, and I'm dying there, basically, literally. The medics come over, said to our captain, he won't make it till morning.
My God.
Wow.
He has to get out now. I had like 106, 107 temperature.
Wow.
So anyway, here, middle of the night, and dust off came, and I guess if you're dust off, I didn't even realize trying to find somebody in the dark, and they have to throw smoke out there or something that so they can find us, and that just opens up the sky for these guys to get shot at. And I think we did get shot at a number of times, but they got me out of there, got me back to the aid station, put me in a tub full of ice. And anyway, that was that first time, and that was come back to my unit a couple of weeks later. Then it was April 5th, 1966. I never forget the day. I'm point man, and this is the second time they get me, and I'm walking along and catch out of the corner of my eye an ambush going to happen from the groups out there. So I opened up on them, and the next thing you know, they opened up on me, and I was hit three times.
My God.
And lost my hand, which my sergeant run out to grab me. He had to get my hand. And he grabbed it and wrapped it up, and the medics put me together as best they can. And then under fire again, here comes the dust off. And myself and another fellow who was shot in the leg, he got on the dust off with me and back to the aid station. And from there, probably a week or so before they could move me over to the Philippines, then to Letterman General Hospital in San Francisco. And I spent, 18, 19 months in the hospital, 21 surgeries later, and
wow,
I can't thank the angels again. I listened to the one before.
Mm-hmm.
You're all angels. Every nurse is an angel. Every dust off pilot should get the Medal of Honor.
Yes,
that's my cheer.
No, sir.
Thank you so much for that story.
Will you please share your name again, sir? Please, your full name. Yeah. And were you a Spec 4 then? What were you as a grunt?
I was an infantryman.
Were you a Spec 4?
I was a Spec 4. Yeah. And then in that back hospital, I got promoted to Sergeant E5. Retired.
And what is your full name, sir?
Father Jim, can I ask him a quick question?
Surely, please. Who is this, please?
This is Phil.
Okay, Phil. I'm sorry. I got so many people on
the phone. Yeah, no. That's fine.
Please, go ahead, Phil.
That's fine. Yeah, Bill, I had a ground pounder tell me once. He says, I'm laying on the ground. He says, I know I'm badly wounded. He says, I don't know if I'm going to live or die. And then I heard those helicopter rotor blades, and I knew I was going to be okay. Yep. Does that sound familiar?
That sounds very, very familiar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone told me that they were when they saw that chopper coming in, it was the song "You Are So Beautiful," the song by James Blunt. Yeah. That was beautiful sight to see that medevac chopper coming in.
What a wonderful show this is. It's a blessing. We have General Satterfield in the wings as well. Sir, would you jump in here and give some honor to our dust-off pilots, Phil Marshall, and this young man, Bill, that was saved. His life was saved twice by a dust-off pilot, medevac. General Satterfield?
Yes, sorry. I have a dog barking in the background.
That's fine. We can handle dogs.
You got a lot of heroes.
Just so they're Army or Air Force, sir.
Well, don't look at me.
She's a golden, so she's great. Hey, by the way, hey, thanks for everything you guys are doing, and Father Jim, you're doing a great job. But hey, by the way, I got a package in the mail today, and it was like 20 pounds. My wife goes, "What the heck is that?" I go, "I don't know." Let me open it up. It's Volume 1, The Helicopter Whisperers by Phil Marshall. Now, I'm a pretty simple guy. That it's over Volume 1. It's over 400 pages.
Wow.
The good news is it's got pictures, so it won't take me that long to read. But I just will let you know that. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Phil, for writing that book. It really means a lot to me.
My pleasure.
And my folks, in fact, where I am, where I live, I live in Galloway, New Jersey, and almost every other man that I run into is a Vietnam veteran here. And they're so wonderful. I live in a 55-plus community, that's why. And almost always they will talk about the pilots that came in that saved their ass or buddy's rear or something, whatever. And they love it. Now, I will tell you, I was never in Vietnam. I'm a post-Vietnam guy. And I did 3 years in combat. And I'll tell you that and then it was the Black Hawk. The Black Hawk medevacs were wonderful. Fortunately, I never had to get on one. And they learned a lot of lessons, so I want to thank you for that. And one of the lessons was, no matter where you were in the country of Iraq, the goal was to reach a wounded man within 1 hour of the wound.
Wonderful.
And I know at Vietnam that was completely impossible. But so thank you for that. You set the standard early, and we're certainly trying to make that work in it, and it certainly helped save a lot of
Phil, stress. I'd like you to come in and talk about your books. You've written how many books? Are they available? Where are they available? And you told General and I in a conference call, the three of us, that your favorite book was, I believe, The Whisperers. Will you share, please?
Sure. I did 21 books titled Helicopter Rescues Vietnam. They're all available on Amazon. If you just search Phil Marshall Vietnam, no special spellings, Phil Marshall Vietnam, they'll all come up. But about the time I got to the 14th book, people would ask me, well, which is the best book? Which one's your favorite? Mm-hmm. And so what I did was, well, first of all, I'd say, well, if you like one, you'll like them all. But what I did was I took the top 20, in my opinion, top 20 incredible rescue missions and put them in one book. And that was the one that's titled The Helicopter Whisperers. And most of the missions have good endings. Unfortunately, some of them don't. But that allowed me to honor the crews by name for those that didn't make it back to their families. But some of these missions, it's just you have to shake your head. How did we get away with it? Because, again, we're crew members. The pilots could be as young as 19. The crew members, the guys in the back were 18. Yeah, and we're making life and death decisions virtually every day that we're flying. But like I say, it just the missions that I've been able to document are just absolutely incredible.
Okay.
And some of them, yeah, just amazing.
Okay, we're going to bring Bill back on real quickly, Bill, because we're getting tight. We're waiting for a call from Dr. Savicki. Share, Bill, please, your story. Love you.
You love it. Thank you. Father?
Yes, sir.
Father Jim?
Yes, sir.
One last thing. I am here today because Father Bruno Massotti, Catholic priest, gave me the last rites when I brought to the aid station, and I'll never forget that.
And sir, where was this? Do you remember? Was it Coochie, Da Nang? Where was it at the time? If you can remember.
It was Tuiwa. I can't remember. It was somewhere on the coast. I was out of it for.
This might be a good time to share. The chaplains are important in the military. We are a ministry of presence, and the four major faith groups. We're going to have a story on this soon. A show. Is Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, and Orthodox, Russian, and Greek. And for that chaplain to show up in a combat scene, a sight, is a miraculous thing in and of itself. And this gentleman is now sharing, he received what we call now sacrament of the anointing of the sick. We changed it from last rites to make, because I would go into a hospital as a VA chaplain. Oh, Father, I'm sorry. They would push me awake. They think I'm an omen bringing death. But the sacrament actually is to heal. And apparently, thank God and the blessings of God, he healed you, sir. God healed you through the sacrament of the anointing of the sick.
You got it, Father. He did. And I can tell you more about him. His brother was a helicopter pilot killed 2 months in Vietnam before he got there.
My God, what a story. Listen, we're going to do a story with you, sir. Do you mind? Sometime in the future, I want Matthew to get your phone number, and I want to do a story with you, okay? And I love you, and we got to continue on here now. I'd like to ask you, and sir, welcome home. I love you. I truly do love you. I'm a combat veteran myself. God bless you.
Thank you for calling in, Bill. I'm so glad that Roz got a hold of you.
And we thank Vienna for bringing you on with us, sir.
Thank you.
And now listen, Phil Marshall, I love you, Bill. Phil Marshall, there's Chief Warrant Officer. I think it's up to 5 now, but back in the day when you were in, it was 1 and 2. That's kind of in the mid-range. You're an officer, but you're not non-commissioned, but you're an officer, but you're not an officer per se as a captain, a lieutenant, et cetera. Would you explain a little bit about that? And I got to tell you, I knew a friend of mine that was a CW4, or 5 actually. He was a sergeant before, went up the ranks as Bobby Gambert, a blessed memory. May you rest in peace. I gave him last rites. And he was with General Hand. He was in Desert Storm. He was in Vietnam. So share with us, because Bob Seegers, who's been on our show before, attack Cobra helicopter pilot, he was a captain. But all of the warrant officers said, you know, Father, we're both honorary wolfhounds. He said, Father, it was one hell of a helicopter. They use another word, but I'll use hell. It was one hell of a helicopter pilot for being an officer. Yeah. It wasn't bad. Share that, would you please, a little bit, Phil?
Sure. Well, an Army warrant officer was a highly trained specialist. So my specialty was a helicopter pilot. And so we had the rank and privileges of an officer. But again, our main job was to fly helicopters. Not everyone that went to warrant officer flight school graduated. About 25% probably didn't make it. But when it got to the cockpit, that warrant officer, if he was an aircraft commander, he outranked whoever was in the other seat. I mean, it could have been a general. So when you're flying, that W-1 19-year-old warrant officer is in charge. Now, of course, when you get back on the ground, that general's back in charge again. But it was a great rank to have, because we had the privileges and the rank, and we were called Sir and Mr. Marshall. Mr. was your rank title. But we had the same training as the commissioned officers. But, of course, the commissioned officers had their officer training before they went to flight school, whether it was ROTC or OCS or West Point, whatever. So it was just the ranking man in the aircraft was not necessarily the aircraft commander. But once you got on the ground, then the outrank took its place again, so to speak. But the training was a year, and we got to be pretty darn good. It was just an amazing time. That's the only way I can put it. It was an adventure.
Hey, Phil. This is Matt Menark, yes. Retired Sergeant First Class. Share how we can obtain your books. But before you do that, Phil, please share with us, our mostly military audience, the night you were wounded, first day as an aircraft commander, on an insecure night rescue of 3 seriously wounded soldiers. This event was captured in an article, I'm the Pilot, written by you and Ed Paradis.
Yes, yes. Well, as David Fusing not mentioned earlier, I replaced him on a 3-day standby, and he had a very, very busy time. And he warned me, you know, it's not very pretty up here right now. But, yes, we got a call for 3 wounded 101st Airborne guys at night, hot LZ, and one of them had a sucking chest wound. We knew he wouldn't live till morning. So that was the reason we went in. Of course, we would have gone in anyway, but we went in with all urgency. We had trouble finding the landing zone. There were about 4 landing zones with their strobe lights on within a few hundred yards of each other. And we finally found them, and they were in a bomb crater with blown tree stumps, so we weren't able to land on the ground. We had to hover there while they loaded the wounded inside the aircraft. As we came out of the landing zone, one enemy soldier emptied his whole clip of AK-47 at us, and apparently the last bullet came through my door, hit my armored seat, It shattered the round, and I got all what was left of the bullet in my lower left forearm, which I'm on the controls, of course. And it knocked my hand off the controls. I rolled off throttle, not realizing it. The round severed my ulnar nerve, so I lost feeling in my hand. And that was where we started falling out of the sky. I yelled to the co-pilot. I said, I'm hit. He grabbed the controls, and then he froze on him. He was going to fly us into the ground. That was about the time I knew we were going to die. And but he rolled the throttle on. That was the one right thing that he did. He said, I felt the throttle was loose. I rolled the throttle on. The engine came up. I got back on the controls. I pulled us out of the dive that we were in. We clipped the top of some trees, damaged the rotor blades, but not too bad that we couldn't get out to the hospital ship and take our wounded out there. But in a nutshell, that's pretty much what happened that night. But again, I knew we were going to crash and die. And here's the interesting thing to me. My very first thought after I knew we were going to die was, how was my family at home going to take it? Well, that was at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, 12 hours time difference. My mom is sitting at her desk at home at 9 o'clock Saturday morning, and she writes in her calendar, I'm worried about Philip.
My God, wow.
She knew.
Premonition.
She knew the second that I got wounded because I was worried about how my family was going to take it.
The love of mother.
But anyway, we got up. Yeah, it was.
Mom's love of a mother. Unbelievable.
Special. Mm-hmm. Yeah, aren't they, Vienna?
Yes.
But
yes,
we got them out to the hospital ship. Yeah.
Listen, we have another guest waiting in the wings. Phil, excuse me. His name is Dennis Skirbin, written many books. And he wants to share his story with you also, how he was saved by a dust-off pilot. Dennis Skirbin, welcome to WWDBAM, Rock and Roll Reveille. Again, our audience, 888-329-3306. Welcome to Rock and Roll Reveille, Dennis.
Well, thank you very much, Father, and thank you for having me on. And I want to say a quick God bless to everyone you have on the show there, especially Bill, the dust-off pilot, and Vienna, the nurse.
Thank you.
And Dr. Davies. And like the other caller you interviewed just short bit ago, I was a ground pounder, a grunt, and wounded in January of 68. And we were south of Chulai, and the dust-off pilots were there. First chopper came in. Took us out, and I was on the first load going out. And they took us to Dr. Davies' second surge.
Thank God.
In Chulai. So that's when I first crossed paths with Dr. Davies. He was there at the same time.
Wow.
But it was an experience. That chopper was just filled. It was a meat wagon, basically. And when we got to the second surge, the professionalism and the way they treated us so quick, it was just unbelievable. And it seemed to me like it was a firefight, like it was mass confusion, but they all knew what they were doing. And they save lives and they save limbs. And I'm forever thankful for that.
Thank you.
And I wanted to thank Vienna, the nurse.
Yeah, thank you so much. You know, David, that was amazing. You have no idea how proud I am of these dust-off pilots. But, David, you need to tell the story about the litter that was on fire on the chopper.
Well, I think I might have alluded to that on the previous interview. But, we would get sometimes to the landing zone to pick up those who were injured or in need of treatment, and sometimes we were too late. And one particular, and I'll try to be brief, we were basically picking up people who were in a truck vehicular accident. A truck was on fire. They pulled the wounded out with their clothing on fire and some pretty serious wounds, overcome by smoke, and they loaded on the canvas litters that we put into the aircraft. Well, we're trying to revive these people. Their bodies are so hot, they catch the canvas on fire. And I've now got an inside of the aircraft burning with canvas. And it left not only a memory for me of death, but also the smell of death sometimes that I'd lingered with me for years.
And you know how it lingered? When we were first married, I cooked sparrows, did not know anything about this story. And Colonel T came home from work. And we were at Savannah, Georgia, Hunter Army Airfield, and I'm an Army nurse. He's in the hospital as a administrator and also a pilot. He comes home, and I said, I've got a special meal for you. And unbeknownst to him, it was spare ribs. He goes out to the grill and looks at it and just walks away. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? And look, you know what he said to me after a long time? He said, it looks and smells just like the guys I picked up in Nam.
Oh, my.
So we never had spare ribs since.
Oh, touching stories on this very special show on radio for veterans, Rock and Roll Reveille. Father Jim Drucker's Rock and Roll Reveille on WWDB 860-888-329-3306. Bobby Seger's Attack Cobra helicopter pilot is on the air with us now. Share your story, Bobby. We're tight on time, please.
Okay, I understand. Hey, it's great to be on your show again, Father Drucker, my fellow honorary wolfhound. Vienna, certainly good to hear your voice again.
Yes.
And Phil, it was great talking to you a couple of weeks ago, but just a quick couple of points. I want to congratulate you on your many written accomplishments. While I was listening to your show, I decided to go on to Amazon and look up all your books, and I was looking at the ratings. I think you have two that are 4-star out of 5, 3 or 4 out of 4.5, and all the rest are 5-star. Perfect ratings.
Congratulations, Phil.
So, yeah, congratulations on your great books.
Yeah.
By the way, Phil, you don't mind talking to a captain, sir, dust off, attack Cobra helicopter pilot, an officer? Do you mind, sir?
No, they saved our butts once or twice.
Yeah. But, amen to that, Phil.
Phil, you were correct.
I think the reason they did that.
Phil, you were correct about ranking a helicopter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay, right. Whoever is the senior, most accomplished, the one has the most experience, he's in charge regardless of rank, and that is true.
But the cute thing is when we were at the Wolfhound Reunion, Chuck Moore, who was a CWO chief warrant officer, I think, too, said, Father, Bob Seger was one hell of a pilot. He was an officer, but he really flew that plane. He was a hell of a dust off and an attack Cobra helicopter pilot.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let me
now, somebody, you have the radio playing in the background. You're going to shut it off. That's why we're getting echo.
Okay.
Hey.
I don't have the music playing back of whoever it is. Listen, let me tell you, warrant officers are officers, okay? The only difference between a commissioned officer, which I was, is we have a lot of extracurricular activities and duties that we have, whereas warrant officers are just, they have one particular duty. And, in Phil's case, hey, it was saving lives. So, back to his books, I want to congratulate you. Although those books, have great ratings, they really pale in comparison to your Medevac legacy of saving lives.
Yes.
I think because of you and your fellow crew members and the medics on board, I think innumerable severely wounded soldiers and Marines were, I guess, saved due to you being able to get them to the hospital in time so that the tender wounds that, I guess, in past wars like the Korean War or World War II would have never survived.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And,
amen.
And,
makes no difference what you buy in. I am everyday people. Yeah. There is a blue one who can't accept the green one. For living up a bad one. Trying to be the skinny one. Different strokes for different folks. So on. It's Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
I gotta tell you, it's been a wonderful hour. It's impossible to do all this. Bill, God bless you. Your life was saved by a dust-off pilot. Phil Marshall, I love you. Sir, Colonel, Sir, David Tuzignan, Janine in our studio here, executive producer Vienna Lorendi, a hero in the studio with us, Ralph Galati called in, General Satterfield, can you beat this, Dennis Skirvin. I want to thank all of you for being on the show today. I want to thank Almighty God for life, and I want to thank Almighty God for our military. And I want to thank Almighty God for our military that have been harmed, and I'm a disabled vet, and for those who gave their lives, like my brother Joseph Drucker, He gave his life and is buried in Cambridge Cemetery. I'm the only one in our whole family who went back. He was three. I was three. He was 25. His baby brother comes back as an officer. He was a tech sergeant. I outranked him in his grave. I prayed for him, put my cross in the grave, dug it deep in the Cambridge Cemetery. I love you, Brother Joseph. Brother Paul was Navy. And you take it over, Vienna, please.
Tune in next Saturday, 4 to 5 p.m., when our guest will be Hanoi Hilton prisoner of war, aviator Ralph Galati. In memory and in honor of America's National POW Day, the third Friday of September. It will be September 20th.
This last request put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best.
Janine, nurse, Vienna, I love you both, and God bless you, audience. And please call in, and we need sponsors. So if you're interested in sponsoring this wonderful show dedicated to veterans, please give us a call.
Thank you for listening, Philly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say.